Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. Coming up this week, we look at how the postal strike will affect romantics, Nigel Farage visits the island, and a crackdown on cyberbullying. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshound's Jess Ward.
Hello.
And Sam Turton.
Hello.
Plus Katie Kitchener from Sales and Distributions is back.
Hello.
Woohoo.
You're like a prettier version of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Aww. Less.
I don't know how much of a compliment that is.
Take it as you will. So how's our week been? Obviously, Katie's back to brighten up our week. But
yeah, and she's got the right shirt for it.
Well, we'll talk about that, Jess, first. We're all dressed in yellow today, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Well, some of us
yeah.
are.
Yeah, apart from Sam.
I don't own yellow things.
Okay. Do you know, Liverpool had an away kit in yellow back in the day, didn't they?
Yeah, I haven't got one.
Okay, right. So, Jess, why are we in yellow? It's an important issue, isn't it?
It is. It's an important issue, and it's an important day for Victim Support, which is a charity here in the Isle of Man. And they have decided that Friday is Yellow Day, so residents around the island are going to be sporting loads of shades of yellow in support of the Sexual Abuse and Sexual Violence Awareness Week.
Okay. And we had a picture taken today, so all across our social media.
Yeah, we have. So we've got that on Instagram and on Facebook and Twitter.
A lot of people in high-vis vests.
Yes.
That may be a different issue.
Yeah, they dialed it in a bit. But Katie, obviously you're fresh from a trip to, where has she been, Jess?
Colombia.
Not Yay. Argentina.
No.
Or the Caribbean.
Or the Caribbean.
Yeah, I enjoyed listening to last week's podcast as I was sat in Colombia with you saying, she's in Argentina. Not quite, Jess.
But you're sporting a Colombia football shirt, which
yeah,
of course
which
is
I'm
yellow.
So happy I get to wear it my first week back. Yeah. Like, I have to wear it.
Yeah, I've got my Jamaican 1998 World Cup top on, which I worked out is actually nearly as old as one of our members of staff, Grace, which is a bit worrying, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah. Well, this has been stored in the loft. The wife doesn't seem to enjoy me wearing my football
shirt. So how old were you when you got that shirt?
I would have been 98, 14. Yeah.
14?
A fresh-faced, bearded 14-year-old. True story, the beard.
So how does that make you feel, knowing that you've got something
that's nearly as old as Grace?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty old, to be fair. Yeah, but yeah, let's move on from that. But how was your trip, Katie? Was it...
It was amazing.
Enjoyable.
I'm surprised I actually came back to the Isle of Man, as much as I love the Isle of Man. No.
And the podcast.
And the podcast, of course. But no, I felt like I was working for the Isle of Man Tourism Board whilst over there. Because
okay.
anyone who asks where I'm from, I'm like, actually from a place called the Isle of Man. Mm-hmm. And I would give them some facts.
Did you feel really
tell
proud?
Tell them to come visit, come on holiday.
Did you feel proud to be a Manx person?
Yeah, it's something when people say, are you from England? You're like, no, from the Isle of Man.
Mm.
You tell them all about
Get
the island.
Right.
I hope you directed them towards the podcast so they could learn some Manx and as well, you know, a bit of a flavour of what goes on in the Isle of Man.
Well, the people I did meet, I mean, none of them really spoke any English, so
it
could
be
used as a learning aid for English, yeah.
There you go. Well, maybe that's something to look forward to. Producer Emma to look into. Right, let's crack on. To quote famous source raconteur Lloyd Grossman, it's time to deliberate, cogitate, and digest this week's Max News. King off, Jess, with a story about Valentine's Day and how we've been told to get our letters in the post early doors, haven't we?
Yeah. So you've got to get your little love cards out in the post early, because there's going to be a strike happening on Valentine's Day, so February 14th.
Postal strike, we should say. It's not
Cupid
going on strike, is it? No, postal strike.
Yes.
3-day postal strike, and that starts next Thursday.
It does,
February 14th.
So that's going to be at 5:30 a.m. on February 14th to the 16th of February. And so basically what's happened is the Communication Workers Union members have voted to reject a revised offer from post office bosses. And so we have got more on that in the
front page of the Courier. So we can
the Courier, that's
if it
right.
doesn't come popping through your letterbox, you can of course look at that online, can't you? That's one of our free digital editions.
Yep, you can download the whole paper from our website iomtoday.co.im.
I must just say, I read the story Adrian Derbyshire wrote, and it was just saying that there's possible talks at the start of next week, so it might not be on. But they're telling
it's
people to
quite
plan
possible.
Like it's going to be.
Absolutely.
Question, Sam. You're a man about town. how often do you post your Valentine's cards? Because, you know, the limited experience I have with Valentine's cards, I tend to give them in person. Because I was quite shocked to read this is but one of their busiest days of the year.
Yeah, I don't know much about Valentine's Day. It's just a day for watching TV, you know.
And well, you mean work? It's a Thursday.
Hiding away from people.
So, but yeah, but I'll throw it open to the rest of the room. As you know, does everyone tend to put theirs in the post? I thought you just deliver it by hand, don't you?
I've never given anybody a Valentine's card, so I wouldn't be the right person to ask.
The only cards I've given, I have... No, I posted a Valentine's card once and to a friend. And the father of that friend was very confused why she was getting one from a girl.
It was
Galentine's.
I must say, I read the story, and they've said that they're going to honour deliveries. So those of us who run out of ideas and forget to get something and panic online and buy a bouquet of flowers or whatever, or some roses, they will still be delivered. That's going to be their priority next Thursday.
So you can wipe your brow, because that'll be a relief for you. But we also made sure, we spoke to a few florists in the Isle of Man and asked them if their deliveries for flowers and for heart-shaped balloons are going to be affected, and rest assured, because it's not going to be affected. And you can read that also in the Courier. We spoke to Jenna Hosthouse from Robinsons, and she said there's no need to worry because it's not going to be affected. And we also spoke to Cherry Salmon of A. Clucas and Co. Florist, which is in Douglas.
Great stuff. So panic over, sort of. Yeah. But as I'm sure I am today, we'll be kept abreast of all the developments of the postal strike next week, won't it?
We'll keep you updated.
A reminder, starts again on Valentine's Day. Talking of a burgeoning, blossoming love, or maybe not a romance, Sam, you met Mr. Brexit himself last week, didn't you? Nigel Farage.
Yeah, big Nige. He was over speaking in the palace last week, discussing all things Brexit and his own political life and how things are going. And it was interesting, actually, because for what you get about him, he didn't actually speak about immigration once.
Oh.
It was, you know, for everything you get sort of associated with, it was all about Britain and business, and spoke very highly of the island as well, actually.
Yeah, I read your piece. You said he'd been into O'Donnell's that afternoon for a pint and had a discussion with a workman, which I thought was a little bit patronising, but that was maybe just me, but there you go.
Yeah, he said he'd been for a stroll along the prom, he'd been into O'Donnell's, like you're saying. He said that the interesting thing about the Isle of Man that he likes is that if he goes out in the UK, he needs security, whereas he comes here, he just goes out by himself.
Mm.
She said it was a... I still don't know if this is a compliment or not. He said the Isle of Man is like the Britain of his childhood.
Oh, okay.
Which, I suppose you can take one of two ways.
You could. But there was a packed room, wasn't it, at the palace? There was quite a few people there watching him. And then prior to that, though, there were a small amount of protesters that turned up, trying to voice their displeasure that he'd come to the Isle of Man.
Yeah, they were raising the point about how much tickets would cost, how much it costs to book him for an event like this, and where that money could be spent elsewhere. One of them said about how the big thing of their protest was that he's seen as a face of fear and hatred, and they wanted to present the alternative view as they see. He is seen as a face of fear and as hatred, and they wanted to produce the alternative view as they see it. And he addressed the number of protesters, he said, by saying, "Is that all the Isle of Man's got?" So his typical brash style. But I mean, I spoke to him briefly. He's quite a personal, but you know, he's very easy to speak to on that level. And it's interesting to disengage from the public face of Farage to what he's like on a more private level.
Now, not only did you speak to him, you actually got him to say something that's sort of relevant to this podcast, didn't you?
Oh, I've got a special treat for everybody here.
Yeah, so we'll play that now.
It's almost live from Nigel.
Well, that was pretty impressive. Now, did you have to cross his palm with silver to get that?
No, I didn't. I did actually get a tea towel. It was my impulsive buy of the week.
Wait, you got a tea towel?
Yeah.
A Nigel Farage tea towel?
Yes.
He has his own tea towels?
Yeah.
With his face on?
Well, so, yeah, did you, I saw he was signing them.
Yeah.
Have you got a signed Nigel Farage tea towel? Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah.
What's on the tea towel?
Well, yeah, what's on it, Sam?
So
have you not brought this in?
I forgot, to be honest. Yeah. So it's from Herman Van Rompuy, who was the first president of the EU. And when he was announced, Farage said, he stood up in the European Parliament and said, "You have the charisma of a damp rag and the appearance of a low-level bank clerk. The people of Britain want to know who are you, and refer to Belgium as a non-country." When he was asked to apologise, he said he apologised to low-level bank clerks. What he does is he sells at his gigs, whatever you call them, tea towels, which he calls the damp cloth. We have a picture of Herman Van Rompuy.
That's so cheeky.
That's amazing.
That is.
So, yeah, we'll have to try and get a picture of that and put that on our social media, which is, of course, at IOM News papers. No, I am news podcast. I didn't obviously don't want to make it too long because it'd be too long for the kids then. They've only got short attention spans, haven't they? But now obviously that was a big event in your week, but I think I meant to put this up earlier in the podcast. We had a bit of an exciting Tuesday night, you and me, didn't we?
Yeah.
Do you want to explain what happened? So you were out and about doing your job, interviewing someone, weren't you?
I was speaking to Jake Hodgson and his dad, whose story you can see on the front page of The Independent this week, about his bike, and I was driving home. I was going along the prom there, tootling along, and I was going to go up Summer Hill, and then a song come on that I really like on the radio.
What song?
What song?
I don't want
to
say.
No, you've got to say it now.
Soul Sister by Train.
Oh, I hate them so much. Hey, Train.
I don't like that song.
So what happened next, Sam?
So I'm tootling along. That finishes, and then Sweet But Psycho come on, so I'm going along, oh, she's... All that, going along, and as I come through Groudle, the car just starts cutting out on me.
Yeah.
So
I should point out at this point, you're in the... I'm trying to see, what colour would you describe our works pool car? It's a Vauxhall Corsa.
Overall, I actually call that car the Olden Goldie.
Yeah, because it's gold and has got more dents than
your average... Yeah, so that's it, the colour's been dented out of it.
Yeah, average banger up at the Nivison, hasn't it?
Dull colour.
So you're cutting through rural Groudle, of course within the speed limit, with the music on, and then what happens?
So the power starts draining away, and the car's slowing down, and I'm like, oh, this isn't good. So just at the top of where the lane comes out from down inside there, there's a bit of a lay-by. So I pulled into there. I'm sat there going, don't know what to do. Tried starting the car again. Just gone. There's nothing kicking into life on it. And so I'm onto our WhatsApp going in, and I'm like, you know.
So I like that your go-to is, I'll take it to WhatsApp.
Take
it to the group chat.
Well, yeah, because I literally, the lights are gone off in the car. The only thing that's working is my torch and my phone, which is not the greatest of lights.
And it was quite late into the evening, wasn't it?
I can tell you what time it was. Because this is where I enter. it was just about 9:05. I had just dropped. Was going up to pick my Hugo, my son, from gymnastics and bring him back home. And I saw this commotion on WhatsApp. It's very rare that I get more than one message a day. So there was four on a group chat. I knew something was up.
Yeah, something big.
There wasn't a sign put it into the night, but I thought, this is my time. This is my moment, as Martin McCutcheon would say. I can go and help Sam. I have absolutely no knowledge of the combustion engine, but I have a car that currently works, and I can get him a lift to safety.
It was like Kevin Costner turning up, you know.
In a Volvo. So I swooped in, taken a picture for said group chat, just to prove what a dodgy character he looks in rural Groudle in the dark.
Stood in the pitch black outside a car.
With a flat cap on, and a fag on as well. He looked like some sort of misplaced poacher from... but yes, so there he was. I picked him up and took him home. But I must admit, I did laugh when he told me that the reason he wasn't at home already was because there was a song on. So he decided to extend his drive.
Oh, Sam.
So what did the garage say the next day, Sam?
They said I'd left the lights on and the battery was flat, which I...
Well, you did have the lights on when the car stopped.
Yeah, but as you can see from the picture, which we can put it on social media, whatever. Yeah. As you can see from the picture, the lights were not on that car.
No.
So I am not taking responsibility for that.
It's a mystery. And but there was petrol in, wasn't it?
There was, and I'm also out on weekend duty, so I've got the car again this weekend. So I've got you on speed dial now. And
that's it, yeah.
That's risky.
I will be there in the Volvo. right, so back to the news. That's, of course, what we're here for. Jess, you've been out pounding the streets as usual.
Yes, I have.
For your Vox Pops / public opinion piece.
Yep.
And I enjoyed this week's topic very much.
So I went out and did my Vox Pop, and this time it was about the discussions to get Manx meat onto Tesco shelves, which has been announced in Tynwald. And some of the comments were interesting, to say nonetheless.
Yes. I would say laced with innuendo, but I would direct people to this week's Examiner to find out, because it made me chuckle. Probably shouldn't have, but it made. That just shows you my juvenile level of sense of humour.
When I was typing it up, oh my goodness.
I don't know how you kept a straight face when you were interviewing them, to be honest, but there you go.
Well, it's all part of my job, you know.
Yeah.
So that's on page 20 on the Examiner if you want
but
to read more.
The serious fact, people genuinely wanted to see it.
Well, lots of people were for it, and some people did say they went out to their local butchers and were very mindful of getting local produce. Mm-hmm. Some people said, no, they just do it while they do their big shop at the bigger shops, so Tesco, ShopRite, and so they don't really put much thought into it. But they said if there was the option to have Manx meat, then they'd take it.
Quick straw poll. Who goes to a butcher here?
I don't go to a butcher, but I do buy Manx meat, and it's...
Oh, hang on, this is the car park story.
Yeah. So I send my dad for my meat deliveries from a car park in Douglas once a week.
And it's not at the back of a pub, it's from a legitimate butcher's, isn't
yeah,
it?
It's not from someone's car trunk. Yeah. It's like a little meat van that comes around.
And now, I must admit, I go to the butcher's probably 2-3 times a week. The one on the terrace, Harrison Garrett, plug. But I was delighted the other week. My wife took the mick out of me this because I came... I actually think I might have actually messaged her. It was that exciting news in my life. The butcher knew my name. And I don't know how. So he addressed me by name as I left. And I thought, this is it, I've made it. This is life complete, level complete, you know, game over. But yes, so I go to the butchers quite a lot. But it took me a while, even as an adult, to cross the threshold because I thought, I don't know about pounds and ounces, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's so intimidating. Yeah. It is.
But I found, just the butchers I've come across, they're all very helpful. Yeah. So I go in and say, you know, what would you recommend for a Sunday lunch? And they'd be like, oh, try this and this. So yeah, I would say... Maybe if there's something you want to do, something these people that you were talking about, New Year's resolutions earlier this year, trying something new, go into a butcher's, strike up a conversation.
Yeah.
Well, in about 5 to 6 years, they'll remember your name.
Yeah, they're really friendly. My mum has actually, she goes to local butchers and she has gone the extra mile. She takes in plastic containers and gets them to put it directly in there. So wait,
yeah,
she
my
doesn't
friends
do single use
yeah.
plastic. So that's another resolution, I suppose.
And it could links back to almost the love sausage you put on our WhatsApp group earlier, Sam. Yeah,
that was me.
That was Jess. That was the one Sam and Marks and Spencer's, isn't it? Yeah. The sausage with the egg in it.
Yeah,
it looks really nice.
The heart shaped sausage.
Mm. Yeah, with eggs in the middle. It looks really good.
Apparently, it's this year's thing for Valentine's Day. A love sausage.
It's all about a love sausage.
Well, you heard it here first.
Producer Emma's gonna love this.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, Sam, we're going to talk about a more serious topic now. We'll talk about cyberbullying and how the government are actually looking how they can address that in schools.
Well, the Education Bill consultation has been launched, and part of that bill is to give head teachers the power to direct posts towards the police and... if they're attacking a member of staff.
So this is a social media post, isn't it?
Yeah. Or attacking a fellow student or a member of staff at the schools. It's an attempt to move along the times and catch up with what goes on online and how. It's a bit of a reference to the fact that our bill currently is a bit out of date.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I feel about this one, really, because there's an element of it where it's saying, they're inviting the officers in to look at it. But at the same time, I think it's difficult to legislate to allow a school to deal with things that aren't inside school.
Yeah.
Like, if you're doing this thing online at 8 o'clock at home at night, I think, fair enough, the police could get involved if you're making direct threats or very personal remarks about people, but I don't know necessarily how the schools can get involved in that.
Well, you went to a talk at Balcombeen High School on Wednesday with two police officers, and it was just about safety in general for teenagers and the like. What, did they shed any comments on it? What were their thoughts?
Well, obviously, they're remaining very neutral on this at the minute because it is still in the consultation phase. So as they say, it's not right for them to have an opinion on this at this point. But they said about the part of the problem perhaps is that adults, parents are still quite nervous about discussing social media and sort of stamping down on kids' use of it. And that's so they in the essence see it as a good thing that we are looking at more controls over it. Of course, we spoke a couple of weeks ago or last week, about the negative side of social media and people's mental health and issues like that. So you got to look at it really that at least attempts are being made to curb social media. I just don't think perhaps this is the best way to do it personally.
Yeah, because recently schools have said that they're going to put rules in place that limit kids' time on their mobile phones or maybe even bringing them into schools.
Well, Balcombeen, I know because Hugo goes there, they have no phones at all, not allowed in the day, only the sixth form are allowed phones. He said it was weird because they have to talk to each other. Yeah, but that's what we're talking about. Again, as Sam alluded to last week, we were talking about the mental health and stuff like that. And we were saying that kids, actually, you were saying, or even in your generation, you're a bit older, but they talk through phones, don't they? They don't talk face-to-face.
Yeah, not face-to-face. Yeah.
But it sort of brings us on, sadly, to another bit of news this week, Jess. And people might have seen this video on social media that was doing rounds earlier in the week about allegedly involving two students from Belcamine.
Yeah, so this week we had Adrian Burnett, who's the head teacher of Belcamine High School, express her shock and outrage after a video apparently showing a schoolgirl being physically bullied circulating on social media. So the police have confirmed that the juvenile female who was involved in the alleged assault and the second teenage girl that recorded it have been dealt with and will be prosecuted in court. It has been confirmed by the head teacher of the school that the school's safeguarding team will work to support the victim safely back to school. Mm. So I just thought, I looked into this a bit further and I thought, well, this is a big problem for kids these days, and what could we kind of say to them to help them deal with the situation? So I've looked online, and some advice is to take screenshots of the comments or photos so that way you've got evidence. Report bullying remarks on Facebook. You can see on posts it says report.
I've used Instagram and Twitter, all have similar facilities.
You can do that, so you can block users if they're just really relentless in their bullying, and unfollow them. And don't get into an argument, because it just escalates, doesn't it? And definitely speak to people around you, so your parents, your teachers, police, because a problem shared is a problem halved, isn't it?
Correct.
It's interesting, actually. I was talking to Mike Griffiths and Penny Moore, who are the two officers who go around the schools, especially Balcomine, and they were saying that they were two officers who were handling this, and they'd spoken to the girl who was the victim in the video, and they said that she's received quite a lot of positivity from it. People who have seen it and sort of responded to her and saying, you know, they've sent a lot of messages to her, and a few people had sent her flowers. So it is interesting how you kind of have the positive side of social media as well.
But yeah, I'm sure there'll be more on that story to come over the next weeks or so. So again, keep across irmtoday.co.im and the Isle of Man newspapers, print titles, the Isle of Man Examiner, and of course the Manx Independent, and I always forget it, the Isle of Man Courier. Right, this week's sports story. It involves a student from Belcamine, and it was from Ben Sinclair, who's on the back of the Manx Independent this week. He is the under-15 boys Scottish 300 metres champion. He ran at Glasgow at the weekend, there's a lovely picture of him hurtling across the line, going a lot quicker than I ever could. But yeah, he's in year 9 and can run 300 metres in 37.82 seconds.
What?
So, which is pretty rapid.
It
should take me 40 seconds to watch him do that.
But yeah, there's a lovely story about Ben on the back of this week's Manx Independent. Of course, my boss, John Watson, asked me to say, because he started listening to the podcast, guys. Have you heard about this?
Oh, good on him.
He says he listens to it because he struggles to get to sleep at night at the moment. So.
Wow. Susan.
And this isn't helping. This isn't helping. This keeps him awake. He's gripped.
But he did record it out. There's 12 pages of sport in the Manx Independent, as it is every week. Varied stuff. If you look at our social media, I try and plug it. We do so much stuff. There's darts, there's snooker, there's any sport you can name it. Snow jumping. There's all sorts of stuff in this week's Manx Independent. So,
did you say snow jumping?
Show jumping.
Okay. Sorry.
I tried to say show jumping, maybe sputtered a little bit, and it came out as snow jumping. It is actually show jumping.
I thought it was like something going on at North Barrow. I didn't know about that.
Maybe there's an avenue there. Right, this week in history, we go back in time to 1957. Nearly as old as my Jamaica shirt. So again, the Alaman Weekly Times. Manxland's leading papers, it says here in brackets.
I love that, Manxland's leading papers.
Maybe we should bring that back for one of our current masthead titles.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. So, Sam, I'm looking at the front page. As always, as we've had a few from the 50s in the last few weeks, there is a cartoon. And this time by Esby.
Yeah, I mean, the other weeks we've been able to work it out. This week I can't. I'll write to Uncle Jack and tell him there ought to be an age limit. The young folks page seems to be housewife's choice. And a man is kicking a cat.
I don't get this at all.
Right, I think I get this. Because if you look at the paper, it's called the Isle of Man Times, which is obviously a rival publication. So I think this is a dig at them in some respect. Obviously now some people don't understand this, but yeah, all three titles are all, we're all one company, but back in the day it was like the Jets and the whatever the opposite of the Jets are and the West Side Story. I can't remember another cultural reference for you.
This
guys
will keep me awake at night until I can know that reference.
So there was obviously different companies running different papers, and this was obviously, I think, a dig at the Isle of Man Times back at them. But the lead story I thought was quite interesting, Sam. It's about the possibility of the TT being filmed live.
Wow.
which, funnily enough, we've discussed in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it just shows there's nothing new under the sun, is there?
No.
So yeah, it's a possibility of the on-the-spot pictures of island events will be transmitted on commercial television channels this summer. And it was this could have included the Golden Jubilee TT. So that was, what, that'd be 50 years, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And the Southern 100 and the MGP.
Yeah. And it was set, they were talking about the financial gain, both for the Isle of Man and if we'd have to pay these companies to do it. But yeah, it is quite an interesting story. The other story I picked out, which I thought was quite interesting, did you see the Manxman that was
he'd
gone to
India. Yes, I like that.
To pioneer their atomic power program.
Oh, no. What?
Students of history will tell you it's not long after this that other nuclear facilities were developed in that area. So I don't know what connection we have to that. It might be something to worth looking.
Geoffrey Hall, he's only 28. So you can imagine going from 1950s Isle of Man to 1950s India. I can imagine that being quite a shock to the system.
28, so that's like Producer Emma sort of age, isn't it?
Yeah, but I can't imagine sending Producer Emma to India anytime soon, to be honest. But yeah, his name is Geoffrey Hall, and he was going to look how they could maybe use nuclear power in India. So that was quite interesting. The other interesting story I saw, Katie, I thought you might like this one. You see, there's a story saying about how the paper came in by steamer rather than on the plane. Did you read that bit? The paper was, as sometimes we're affected by weather, in that instance, the paper used to come over on the plane. And there was low cloud, had shut Ronald's Way, so they had to put the paper on the boat instead. But the other interesting thing about this, which I thought was quite interesting, was that they looked at the idea of reopening on going up to Derby and using that as the airport that day.
That was quite frequently done, actually. Yeah, it was about that. Yeah.
So they used to send everyone up from Ronald's Way, all the air traffic control staff. Apparently the firemen used to go up, everyone, and have to go to Derby for the day if the weather was poor down south and it was all right up north. But they got halfway up and then they realised it had cleared at Ronald's Way, so they came all the way back. But yeah, quite interesting. Anything catch your eye, Jess?
Well, I just think we've got a recurring theme with eggs. We've got our historical...
So this week, what is it this week?
So this week it's an egg price drop, and there's been complaints of no warning for the price drop from grocers. And so they were just saying that there was a reduction in the price of eggs, which has meant a big financial loss to most of them.
Katie?
I'm really taken by the advert in the bottom left corner. Hats to match the magic of spring.
It's up there with last week's lingerie advert, wasn't it? Did everyone go out and buy a bed coat after last week? Sam, what did you say about that hat?
I said from the front it looks like a nice hat, and from the side it looks like a chip basket turned upside down.
So I think it looks like a lampshade.
Yeah. It's actually called a Walmer hat. As is illustrated on the ladies page.
So that was for Arsene.
We should have a ladies page.
We should.
RC Kane Limited were selling those lovely hats, although lovely maybe a stretch. Casey, you're back. Now, we suppose we should be asking you for some Spanish, because that's obviously been to South America. We're plugging away with Manx Word of the Week, aren't we?
We are. We're back to our Manx words now, and this one, it doesn't link to the front page of the newspaper, but it's very appropriate for what's happening today.
On point.
Yeah, as the kids would say, it's on point.
Sorry.
So this week's word, which I'll probably pronounce wrong now, but we'll have an audio of it being pronounced correctly, is bui.
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 Oh, it's like,
if you ever watched that Made in Chelsea, and then they need to call to each other, they go... Wait, we? Yes. But you think we speak in Manx?
I think this word sounds like the thing makes me feel. Wee!
I do enjoy it. It's very wee.
Wee.
Now, obviously, you weren't here last week, so we've had to continue the Manx language without you. Last week's was Jess.
It was.
I just enjoy making you pronounce words.
This is going to go tragically wrong. Ben-reen?
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 Right.
Oh, I've forgotten already.
Actually, I listened to our podcast last time, and I wasn't too far off.
Are you?
No, I was almost there.
You don't have that aggressive edge when you say it when certain people go Germanic.
Yeah, I was looking at Sam in that. Have a crack at bui then.
Bui.
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 Bui. Wee!
So right. Like, do you remember like playing Mario Kart and you know the tape? And it'd be like, Luigi! Wee!
Right, right. Let's see what culture ran up to, how they is said. And hopefully it's not like anything we've just done.
Wee!
We actually didn't say what Ben Reen.
Right, well, we can pick that up now. Ben Reen, what's it mean? Drum roll.
It means queen.
Queen.
And that's because we looked at...
Last week in history.
With Queen Elizabeth II.
Who was coming to the Isle of Man. 1954, I believe it was. Wasn't it, Samuel? Yes, there you go. Old grey mat is still working. Right, before we go, anything exciting to look forward to in next week's papers, Jess?
Yes, so we've got the Vox Pop, which is looking at whether or not people are stockpiling before Brexit.
Now, I thought about this. Those of you who listen to the Manx Football Podcast, I'm getting worried about my biscuits. Which ones? Well, we have a different biscuit every week. And they're currently, just keep you abreast of the biscuit prices, Bourbons and Custard Creams are 65 pence. So I think that's quite a good price. Yeah. So I might buy a lot in case they go up after Brexit.
Well, what's the sell-by date? How many years have you got on
them?
It's only me and Dave that really eats them, so I'm not really asked about them. sell-by dates, but yeah. So and are people panicking? Are people digging a bunker? Or
a lot of people were like, "What's all the fuss about?" But we did have one individual, and he has been preparing himself for 6 months.
Oh, can we call the? Are they called preppers?
Like I'm going to call them preppers.
Yeah. Hashtag. Yeah.
Hashtag preppers. Okay. Like it. But Sam? If you guys were to like stockpile anything, what would you do?
Oh.
I don't know.
I guess if I had a pet, I would maybe make sure my pet would be looked after.
I don't know, Sam. See, everything that I can.
I guess that could be for a kid as well. If you had a
razor
kid.
Blades, I think
razor blades. Just let it grow.
but you'll find out more next week.
Yeah, Sam. Anything to look forward to on your veritable plate of stories?
Oh, so much. Yes, actually, surprise one for you. Mm-hmm. Chief Constable is going to be arrested.
Oh,
and I'm saying no more.
Oh, right. And we'll have to find out in what?
The Examiner next week.
Oh. So both of those stories are in the Examiner next week, which is, of course, in the news agents on Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Asterix, weather permitting. Right.
No, we'll get them here.
Positivity.
Casey will go and get them herself if she has to.
She will swim a class.
Those nine.
I'll get stuff from Ronald's way up to Jerby and we'll get things over.
Right, if you want to get in touch with us throughout the week and tell us how bad this week's podcast has been, at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and, of course, on Twitter. Our application is in the post for our Facebook page. I'm sure that'll be coming shortly. Casey, if people want to go, if they're interested in being pricked in either the Examiner or the Independent, and want to go and get it online, how can they do that?
Yeah, exactly. If you want to go back and read the story about the butchers and the local meat, you can go to...
It's worth it. It's worth the
it
pound.
It really is.
Yeah, you can go to www.iomtoday.co.im and you just click on digital editions. You can access the Manx Independent, the Isle of Man Examiner and the Courier.
Fantastic stuff. Right, until next week.
Bye for now.